Boss is here.
Military parents never miss a beat, and neither does the Johns Hopkins U.S. Family Health Plan. Built for every warrior in your family. With more than 40 years of service to military families, TRICARE Prime Benefits plus exclusive extras. Learn more at warriorsathome.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Praise God. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we here today? Good morning. It's been a beautiful day to be here today, gathering church. It's an amazing opportunity. Many people, I always say this, don't have this beautiful opportunity to gather, to have a place to worship God. Many have to hide. Many are running away, but we're still in a nation, in a country where we can praise God in freedom, where we can come to church, raise our hands, worship freely. So if one more time, can we just God give praise just for this day, for this morning, for this opportunity? If you don't know me by now, you're in sin. I'm just kidding. My name is Carlos. I'm from Legacy Marietta, the Spanish ministry, and it's an honor to be here once again. It's a privilege and honor every time I come here. It's like my second home now. And I have the honor to continue with this series as I was talking to Pastor Mitch about Renovate. And I was thinking to myself, you know, different things in life. And one of the things, interesting enough, that he and I were sharing and thinking, it was that throughout time, we tend to believe certain things that are lies. And it was interesting to me that the same things that you guys believe, I believe also in my country, in Guatemala. Certain things that we grow up thinking that they're true, but it turns out that they're lies. For example, I remember back in the day, I don't know, kids still remember, but you know those TVs that had a lot of, they had a box behind them, and they were so heavy. And every time my parents would tell us, hey, don't get too close to the TV because your eyes are going to strain. You're going to lose sight. And it turns out that it doesn't matter. The blue light will affect you anyways, whether you're standing close or far. It doesn't really matter. But we always thought that that was the case, right? Same thing with swimming, especially when they have a pool in Guatemala. But we did have rivers, much better. We have snakes and animals and all that that you can swim with. But you guys remember that we used to go and used to eat. And at least my grandmother, right after we ate, you couldn't walk. She said, don't run. You had to walk. Walk slowly. You just ate. And then she wouldn't get us get in the water either. And I was always wondering why. What's going to happen to my belly? Can I put my feet in inside? But it turns out that it doesn't harm you. It turns out that you can get back in the pool. As soon as you finish the hot dog and the pizza, just get right in it. And it won't harm you at all. And finally, cracking your knuckles. I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, but I always wanted to be a bad boy. I tried, but I couldn't. Not with this face, at least. And I remember older people always used to say, don't do that, you get arthritis. And it turns out you won't. You know, and all these things that we believe when we're growing up. You know, just the fact Santa Claus is real. Sorry, I think I just ruined somebody's day. But we grow up thinking about these things in life. You know, things that we read, things that we go. And interestingly enough, as we get older, you know, these things don't matter so much anymore. But we start believing lies that usually end up in enough. We start believing things that our parents told us when we were growing up. We start believing things that maybe our bullies told us when we were younger. You know, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You know, you're not tall enough. You can't do it. You know, and the enemy tells us, hey, you're not spiritual enough. You can't even pray for 5 minutes. You fall asleep. And then, you know, you get all this. You're not Hispanic enough. What do you mean? I eat red beans and rice. I know I've been here for like 25 years. But you start hearing all these things, right? And all of a sudden, those lies, you start believing them. And the things that worry me is that not only we start believing lies, but we stop believing the truth of God. His promises, His word. And that is the most important thing. Not only what the enemy and the world is telling us through the media, through the news and everything. That we start believing and worrying about everything that is going on around the world. But we cannot stop believing what the word says. We can't stop believing what the promises of God say. And that is one thing that we have to be reminded today to be able to renovate. And usually, when all these things are coming to us, they trigger this thing called stress. If you're an adult, I think you've dealt with this before. And I was thinking to myself, you know, wow, it's amazing how we can stress differently in different countries and different nations. I'm from Guatemala, and we were there this year in May. And you can see that homeless over there are homeless. Not the homeless here that we see with a phone, right? And they look good, and their beards look really shaved. Their hair look good, better than mine some days. But poverty is very different. And the stress over there is different than the stress here. And some stress is self-inflicted, and some stress might be caused because of the things around us that we can't help. Bad decisions that we make, bad turns, those are self-inflicted. We chose those. But there are some things like the pandemic. We just couldn't control that. And then with that, all the things that have been going on the past 2 or 3 years in our lives, and then jobs, inflation, CPI numbers. If you're into stocks, you see the portfolio and it's red. I don't know what's going to happen. Inflation, home prices, gas prices. And it seems like one thing after another. And then all of a sudden we start eating a sandwich of regrets of the past with the troubles of today. And that thing of what's going to happen in the future. The uncertainty of the future. And the worst thing about it is we can't even put a little mayo on that sandwich. And we have to remind ourselves, church, we have to go back to the promises of God. And on top of that, we have a spiritual pressure. I don't know if you can see it, if you can perceive it, but our principles are being under attack. Our beliefs, our moral values, biblical values are being under attack. The way marriages tend to be, according to the Bible, has been redefined. The way love is supposed to be has been redefined. The way people think about marriage and family has been redefined by society. We're under spiritual attack as well. And the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 6 that we not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We have to be reminded that we live in a spiritual world. That even though we are physical beings, there is a spiritual realm. But we also have to remember that our warfare, that our weapons are also spiritual and not carnal. That we believe in a powerful God. That we are not alone. That even though we have some, might have some pressure, whether they're physical, emotional, spiritual, we always also have a God that is in the spiritual and emotional. That battles for us, that is with us. That he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That he has always been in control. I think I'm already getting excited and getting ahead of myself. But I think we have to be reminded as a church that we are not alone. That we are not just another religion. That we believe in the kings of kings and lords of lords. That our Lord resurrected on the third day and he reigns. Can I get an amen? Amen. We have to be reminded, church. When the stress comes, when anxiety comes, I think we need to go back to the basics. I truly believe in the things that are going on that we need to go back to renovate. A survey in 2022, American Psychology Association determined that the most common source of stress were the future of our nation, 63%, money, 62%. Work, 61%. The current political climate, 57%. Violence and crime, 51%. In-laws, mother-in-laws, 50%. All these things are causing stress in our lives. Do you guys know that according to a study, 90% of the illness and infirmities have to do with stress? And the reason I mentioned about how we deal with things in different nations and here, as you know, I am from around here. I was born in Guatemala, 10 years. I've been here longer than that, but You don't want to know my age. None of your business. But they would think, when we talk to families and friends in our countries, they believe that we are in a nation of honey and milk. How can you people have trouble? You guys can sweep the dollars. Washingtons are everywhere. What do you mean? You have the American dream. How can you guys have anxiety? How can you guys have pressure? Oh, yes, but there is pressure in this nation. There is anxiety. There's people at church that come every day on Sundays with problems, with things, because we have forgotten the basics. Back to the basics. I don't know. Have we have any sports people here? Can I get an amen? We know about sports. I know a little bit about soccer. I play high school and college. Actually, I play here at Reinhardt University up in Waleska. And one of the things that when we're under pressure, we tend to show our weaknesses. So therefore, I remember our coach used to tell us, maybe this is true for other sports as well. When you play against an enemy, not an enemy, but the other team, and they're good especially, you put high pressure. In soccer, if the guy is right-footed, I put right pressure on his right foot so he can turn to his left foot. When we're under pressure, we tend to show our weaknesses. And that happens usually in the same way in the spiritual realm. Some say that when we're under pressure, when we're going through tribulations, when you're driving late and all of a sudden someone just cuts you in, it shows truly who we are. It shows your spirituality, your maturity. And as I think how to renovate, and as I think of the things that we're going through in this nation, in our lives, and the uncertainty of the future, I think we must go back to the basics. What are the basics? To go back to his word, to go back to his promises. And one of the people that I personally, characters in the Bible, that I admire the most is King David. The Bible says that there was no other man, according to God's heart, like David. But he didn't have it easy. You guys know the story. We learn it in Bible studies. We know that he slayed the Goliath. But when we read those Psalms, he was going through different tribulations and different stages of his lives. Some of them were good. Some of them were psalms of victory and songs of victory. And others are, God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? But we all know Psalms 23. If you don't know, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But we all read. If you've been to church, you've heard Psalms 23. And one of the things that the Bible says and the source says that whenever he writes Psalms 23, he's maybe a king already, going through tribulations, going through trials. But some experts say that he wrote this when Saul was persecuting him. You know Saul, his father-in-law, the one who tried to kill him like two or three times. He's playing the harp for him. Can you imagine he's playing the harp for your father-in-law? What's up? Can we drink a cold one? A Coca-Cola, by the way. He just throws a spear, tries to kill him, runs away. And that's why I think in his tribulations, and he probably remembers himself when Samuel came to his parents' house and anointed him and pour out the anointing. And all of a sudden, he's being persecuted. And all of a sudden, he's under stress. They're trying to kill him. But he goes back to the promise. He goes back to God and says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. I lack nothing. Remembering who he is and remember who God is. Remember that his faith and his life was not under his control, but under God's control. Remember that his Lord is the shepherd. He's not guiding himself. That if he's going through this situation and navigating to this route of uncertainty, is because God is leading him, but God is with him. He reminds himself that he's not alone. In church, we are not alone. You have a good shepherd. Not just any shepherd. You have the great shepherd. You have a good shepherd. And we have to be reminded that whenever we go through these uncertainty times, anxiety and pressure, go back to the promises. Go back to the word. Go back to prayer. Go back to fasting. I don't know if you remember our elders. But every time there was an uncertainty, every time there was a problem, every time there was a doubt,
fast. Let's fast for 3 days. Every time you didn't know how to make a decision, let's pray about it. Let's wake up at 5 a.m. and let's pray. Every time there was something going on in their lives, they always go back to the basics, to prayer, to the word, to trusting God, to believing in God. And I think David is saying, reminding himself, I have a good shepherd. He is my shepherd. I shall lack anything. And we can't simply believe, you know, these words, and we believe that God is our God and God is our shepherd. But we hear these verses a lot of times in funerals as a distant God, you know, as a, oh, yeah, he's a good shepherd. But Jesus Christ himself said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I guide you. And I think if David will be writing this today, he'll be saying, Jesus, you're in control. Jesus, you are my Lord. Jesus, I don't know what's going to happen, but you're in control. Jesus, I don't understand what's happening around the world. I don't understand what's happening with the economy. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but you are in control. But you are my shepherd. But you are my God. And we have to live this place. We can't live this place without being reminded that above all things, he is our shepherd. That above all things, when pressure and anxiety says, you don't have enough. You're not enough. When he says, oh, you need more. God says, I am enough. He is enough. He has always been enough. It's always been about Jesus, has always been Jesus, and it always will be Jesus. Jesus is enough. We have to be reminded again and again. Remind your anxiety. We have to remind our troubles. Remind our problems. My Lord is enough. God is enough. You know, when we think of what David went through, when we think of everything that he went through, he still reads afterwards in Psalms 23 from verse 2 to 3. Can we start with the keys? Makes me feel more spiritual and Pentecostal. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sakes. You know what's interesting about an article that we're reading is it was talking about Philip Keller. He's a known about land. Apparently he was a shepherd. And something that he learned and understood about sheep was the fact that in order for them to lie down, in order for them to rest, they have to be freedom from fear, freedom from tension, freedom from aggravation, and freedom from hunger. That's the only way the sheep can lie down. That's the only way they can rest. They need to make sure. You know, we always think that sheep are like these little dumb animals, and they just follow the shepherd. But they're like, I'm not going to lie down here. I got to make sure it's freedom from fear. There's some good food. There's some good buffet grass. No one is going to attack me. Then I can lay down. And guess what? One of the things that I find amazing, how the connection from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Because when we have a good pastor, when we have the good shepherd in our lives, he's the one that goes before us and tells you, you are free from fear. You are free from anxiety. You are free from pressure. And he gives us his peace. In the Old Testament, it was Jehovah Shalom. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I give you my peace. Look what it says in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. It's interesting that he says, I give you my peace. We cannot generate peace on ourselves. We cannot create peace. As a matter of fact, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You see how it's connected? We always think that peace is the absence of war. No, my friends, no church. Peace is the presence of God. We can have peace in the presence of God. That's how in the middle of the ice storm, we can praise. That's why in the middle of the ice storm, we can say, God is in control. You know, there is a song, a hymn in Spanish. I'm not going to sing, don't worry. But I love that. It says, when I'm crying, I worship. In the middle of the storm, I worship. In the middle of debility, in the middle of my weakness, I worship. In the middle of depression, I worship. We must worship at all times and go back to the basics. We must go back to the one who is our peace. He is our peace. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is our Lord. This is our God. Church, I think the world needs to be reminded that our God is above all gods. The world needs to be reminded that Jesus is a name that is above all names. Something that God has been, this past few months, just reminding me and telling me, remind my people. Every time that I speak, remind my people that I have not changed, that I have remained the same, that I am still God, that I am still in control. And the church needs to be reminded that we don't just worship a God made of wood. This is not just another sect, another religion. Our God is real, people. Our God is real. The heavens proclaim His greatness. Nature proclaim His nature, His greatness. From generation to generation, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God of the prophets and the apostles, the same God that they worship, we worship. And a lot of times we understand, God, but why did you let me go through the fire? And maybe He will let you go through the fire, but the difference is God will get with you in the fire. He will not leave you alone. He never has, and He never will. But we have to go back and activate our faith. We have to go back and activate God's promises. You see, we can't sing Waymaker, Miracle Worker, and we worship, and amen, and I love that song. But whenever we have something going on in our lives, a sickness, a headache, we forget our miracle worker and we go to the pills and we go to our miracle worker Tylenol and we don't let God do His miracle. And we all been through this because we have forgotten His promises. Go back to the basics. I remember it last year when my beautiful wife was pregnant. I don't know how that happened. That's a whole different story. There was a revival one night and she ended up pregnant. I went to a funeral. The friend asked me to give a word. His mom passed away, and I had COVID. I got COVID in the funeral. I guess the devil didn't like the fact that I preach to Muslims and Catholics. It was worth it. But then my wife got COVID, and she was like 7 months pregnant, 6 months pregnant. It was very difficult. I just had headaches and body aches, but I was still praising Jesus. When she got sick, it was very different. As women know, when you're pregnant, you feel everything twice, 10 times worse. And my in-laws, my father and my mother, took her to the doctor, to emergency, and they told us that to make sure that she was breathing properly, because everything that she was going through was going to affect it with the baby. And I remember they gave me a list, and I went running away to the pharmacy. Inhaler, test her oxygen levels. Everything next to the bed was all this, you know, Tylenol and everything that we needed. And one morning she was feeling really bad. She couldn't breathe. Her oxygen levels were really low. And we were like, should we go to the hospital? Should we not go to the hospital? And all of a sudden, this thought came to my head. Hey, you're a Christian. You preach? You've preached about faith before. You know that Bible that you read and you teach from? You know what it says? You should lay your hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Notice it says that I am the healer. God had to remind me of the things that I tend to preach and teach. And you see, church, we need to take that information for it to turn into revelation. We can't simply be believers. We have to be disciples. To be disciples, we do what the word says. We walk the way He walked.
We can't just simply have the Word of God as information, but we need to act on it. We need to believe it. Activate our faith. And when I told her, where is the oil? Where is the anointing oil? Oh, it was all dusted under the restroom cabinet, forgotten. And I got my little faith back again. And I anointed her and I prayed for her in the name of Jesus, according to the Bible, according to what the Bible says. And it reminded me, I need to go back to the basics. Sometimes to renovate, we need to go back to the basics. We need to be reminded where God took us out from. We need to be reminded that our God is a great God. We need to be reminded that our God conquered death. We need to be reminded that we are not alone. Interestingly enough, Jesus told his disciples, "And I'll be with you until the end of times." But Stephen, in Acts, when he's been stoned to death, he says, "Oh, I see Jesus next to the Father." So we're like, whoa. Is Jesus here with us or is Jesus in heaven? Where is he? He says, I will not give you orphan. You are not alone. The Bible says when there's two or three gathered in my name, there's where I am. He is here through his Holy Spirit. And he's the one who heals us. And he's the one who passes his hand. And he's the one who gives us comfort. And he's the one who makes us lay in green pastures. We just have to believe. We just have to believe. And proclaim his promises. Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, is whom I take refuge. My shield, my horn, my salvation, my stronghold. I think when David was writing this, it's a completely different sight than what we think. When we read this, we feel like, oh, there's a lot of green pasture. There's a lot of food. The shepherds just guided them buffet. What do you want? Medium well? Well done, grass? Eat whatever you want. But as a matter of fact, in Israel, it's very deserted-like, as we all know. And this is probably what David was writing, thinking of this. He knew that God was the one who was guiding him to the green pastures. He believed that his shepherd knows best, knows the future, knows where to take him, knows where to go next. And I feel like he was thinking of this. This unknown rabbi says, worry is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. You know, when I think of this desert, it reminds me a little bit of our lives in the sense of our past, our present, and our future. We don't know what's going to come. We don't know if there's going to be new grass or not. But he knows. But God is in control. And I think we need to be like David and say the way he said, even though I walk through the darkness valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, God is always on the move. He knows where to take us. We can't stay still. Not in our marriage, not in our lives, not at church. Our lives and church cannot be a water bank. It must be a river. Constantly moving. Constantly giving life. And I truly believe, church, that God is here today reminding us that he's our shepherd, that he is in control, that in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of our worries, that in the midst of regrets, in that sandwich, we need to put a little bit of mayo, a little bit of peace to enjoy it.
and trust in Him and believe in Him, to renovate our lives, to gather strength again, we need to go back to the basics, go back to the Word, go back to His promises, go back to prayer, go back to fasting, go back to His presence. And I promise you, we will be new creatures. We'll be like Moses when he went 40 days and 40 nights. When he came out, women are going to love this. No more wrinkles. His face looked incredible. Calm and the presence again. Let's trust God once again. And I wonder, if you're here today with any type of thoughts, doubts, uncertainty, fear, stress, depression, anxiety, He is in control. The Bible says that Jesus said, "Come to me, all those who are weary, all those who are troublesome, and I will give you rest. And He will give you His peace." But we must believe. We need to remind the world that our God is a great God. And how do we remind them? By us acting in faith. By us living the Word of God. By us praying again. By us manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit. By us manifesting His gifts and His presence. As the worship team comes up, I want to end with this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. There we are, if you can stand up. And just for a moment, as an act of faith, on this morning, just pray to God in your own words as the worship team lead us to activate our faith once again, to help us once again believe in His promises, to believe in His Word, to renovate our soul, our flesh, our spirit, that we don't want to leave this place the same way we came. That when we leave this place, we are ready to act on faith. That when we leave this place, we say, "Hey, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know who the next president is going to be, and I don't care, because my God is above all things. Because my God is in control." The way we renovate is leave things to God. Leave it to Him. I know it's a total cliche. Leave your troubles to God. But when we truly do that, you will feel His peace. You want to understand how you can be happy, how you can have peace in the middle of the trouble in your marriage and everything in life. But it's a supernatural, that peace that transcends all knowledge is from God. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this morning. I give You honor and glory. I worship You. For You are the only one who is worthy of worship and admiration. Leaders come, leaders go. Kings come, kings go. But You remain forever and ever. Your love remains forever. Your mercy remains forever. I just want to ask You this morning for Your presence in our lives to fulfill every empty space, to fulfill Your promises in our lives, Lord. We didn't come here just for another meeting. We came here to encounter You, to be in Your presence. We give You all our worries, all our thoughts and doubts and uncertainties. And we trust in You once again, Lord, that You are our good shepherd, that You are our Lord, that You are our King, that You are in control. We give you honor and glory on this morning. We exalt your holy name for who you are. You are our Jehovah Shalom. You are our peace. We worship you on this morning. We ask you to give us the strength to activate our faith, to walk on faith, to believe in your word, to believe in your promises and put them into action. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. Thank you for allowing us to go through certain things in our lives so we can go back to you, so we can depend on you once again, so we can pray to you once again. Receive the honor and the glory. We thank you, Lord. We ask you, if anyone here is going through an illness, a sickness, for you to lay your hands and heal them in the name of Jesus Christ. That if anyone is going through any troubles, tribulations, depression, anxiety, for you to take those thoughts, for you to give them your peace, Lord, your joy, your love in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for you took our infirmities, you took our illnesses to the cross. For you bear our sickness, for in your name and at the cross, we know that we can be safe. We know that we can be healed. Thank you, Lord, in the name that is above all names. In the name of Jesus Christ, let's just worship him and believe that he's in the middle of the storm.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.